That was exciting about the tech, wasn't it? I'm not a very techy person myself. I used to be, but I kind of gave up on it all a few years ago when it just started getting touchscreen. You know, when he said, "Can you see the mouse?" I was looking for a little furry creature running along the stage. So anyway, praise the Lord. Good to see you. Shall we pray? Let's close our eyes and just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us and speak to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you for your death and resurrection. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for that we made it here this morning. I just pray, Lord, for each and everybody here now that we would have open hearts, Lord, to hear from you, that we would have open minds, Lord, to receive from you this morning, that you would come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher this morning. Speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're continuing our Romans series from this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 9, and we're going to read through pretty much most of the chapter. So here we go. Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born, or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed to say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality, just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So some light reading for us this morning. and you'll be glad to know I'm not going to do a big theological seminar on predestination this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But because the truth is, whatever we think about this kind of stuff, actually what our job doesn't change. Our mission doesn't change. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And so that's what we do. And no matter where we stand on this kind of thing, our mission is the same. Our mission is to preach the gospel and to evangelize and to witness. And the first thing I want to talk about is actually, so we're going to keep it simple. So I'm simple, so that makes sense as well. And the first thing that that I really noticed actually as I started to read this, and the first thing I want to talk about, and I believe what God wants to do with us this morning actually is to give us a heart for evangelism, is to give us a heart for the lost, so that we can then be moved to pray for the people, so that we can be moved to pray for our nation, so that we can be moved to pray for revival. I mean, you look at church history and you see all of the past revivals, the amazing outpourings of the Holy Spirit that God's done with our nation and other nations, and there's always prayer beforehand. And God always moves the people to pray from the heart with conviction, with in the power of his Holy Spirit, to pray for the nation, for the situation, for the people, for him to move. And we have to become to a desperate place to begin to receive that sort of burden of the Holy Spirit, really, to be moved to. It's something that God has to do. Have you ever tried to pray and I'm gonna make myself pray? And you know, you're just not feeling it at all. Nobody else is feeling it, but you try and strive for a make a prayer meeting happen or something. You're like, I'm gonna have an all night prayer meeting tonight, you know, totally out of season, totally in the flesh, but you're gonna do it because you know you wanna show the big prayer that you're trying and you're striving to pray, and you might have a nice time and God hears your prayers. But the consistency of it, there's no energy to keep it going, because it's not something of God, the burden isn't real, it's not strong enough, it's not of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that Paul says here at the very beginning, as you may have remembered about an hour ago when I started reading, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. I mean, that's some serious heart for his brothers and sisters. That's some serious heart for people to come to know him. I don't know about you, but I was properly challenged when I read this. I mean, how often are we just so kind of content and satisfied and happy in our own cozy little lives? And we don't, I mean, the word he uses is a proper strong Greek word. It just means to be absolutely cut off from God for eternity. Basically, he wishes that he could go to hell himself if it would save his brothers and sisters. I mean, this is his heart pouring out. This isn't, it doesn't theologically add up right, but you get a glimpse into the heart of Paul here for his brothers and sisters. And I believe that this is something that just God wants to do for us this morning. So at the end of this, one of the things we can come forward for prayer for and just to receive from the Holy Spirit is to receive this heart for evangelism, this heart for the lost, this heart for our nation, this heart to pray in the Holy Spirit, to be moved to pray. You know, we see how, in the story of the prodigal son, for example, how God's heart for the lost, the heart of the father for his son, who wanders away from him. You know the story, the father had two sons. The younger son, he asked for all of his money and he sort of wanted to get, he wanted nothing to do with his dad. He just wanted his inheritance and all that money. And then he went off and he spent it on, whatever, wild living, distant lands. And he blew it all and then he became desperate. He came to that point where he was totally desperate, absolutely wanting to eat the food that the pigs were eating. And he just was, and he must have been there and he decided, hang on a minute. And then he came to his senses and he realized, I can go back to my father. I can go back to my father. And in this story, we always focus on this son, this younger son. We always see this younger son. We always view it from his perspective most of the time. But we very rarely see that this whole story is about the heart of God, the heart of the father. in that story. And it says he was waiting for him. I mean, we don't know how long he was away, probably away for years. We don't know how long, but day after day, his father was there in that house waiting for his son to return. Just waiting. I mean, I don't know what he was, maybe he's washing the pots and looking out the window and looking up at the hills and, is my son coming back? Who's that? Oh, no, it's just the farmers and back to things and back to what he's doing, pottering around and having something to eat and doing a bit of his work and every now and again walking past the window and looking out and day after day watching, waiting for his son to return, for his son to come home. And this is a bit of a glimpse into the heart of God for us. And you know, the older brother was, you know, should have been there with him, should have been sharing his father's heart for his brother, because he's his brother. You know, he's a fellow human being, and he should have been waiting with his father. And if he was close enough to his father, he would have felt his heart for his son, for his brother, and shared that with him and watched with him and waited with him and helped, and maybe he's went out and looked for him or whatever it took, I don't know. But to have been close to the heart of the father, to be moved to at least pray for his son to come home. You know, in the it's interesting, the prophetic words this morning, Becca's prophetic word about the trees, about the leaves on the trees, you know, they look like they're dying, don't they? They look so, like, you know, red and brown, and they don't look full of life, and they don't look green. And but actually, in that dying of those leaves, it is so true. It's beautiful to God. And unless it falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it falls, it produces more and more. And it's exactly the same with us. You know, God loves us. God wants us to be moved to pray for those people that don't know him. And it's interesting, because on the way here as well, Esther, my wife, said a similar thing. She was talking about the leaves on the trees and saying, you know, isn't it interesting that you can see all these leaves now? They were green a few weeks ago, bright and healthy. And now they're, you know, like, they're brown and whatever, but it looks so beautiful. And then she said, you know, but it's just so inevitable. It's like, it's absolutely guaranteed that autumn's coming now, that it's the start of autumn's here. It's just, the seasons are so guaranteed. Autumn comes next, then winter, then spring, then the summer. And you look at the Bible, or the history of the people of Israel and the church history, and you see the way God moves throughout history, and he often brings a nation to its knees before he does something awesome and phenomenal with it. And you know, this is where we are. Right now, this is where the UK is. This is where you and I are. In ourself, even if we're doing awesome, we're probably at best lukewarm. We just have nothing good to compare it to. Our church, all the churches, the church in general, we're on our knees and we're dying. And we need the Holy Spirit like never before. We are absolutely desperate for God to move. We are like Gideon's army. We're just weak people. We just need the Holy Spirit to move. And everything we're doing here is prophetic as well, because we know that the autumn comes and things get a bit worse and all the shaking of the nation, what's happening? It's all right, it's okay. God's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He wants us to be moved to pray in a real way, in a consistent way, for the nation, for our brothers and sisters. And then you know what will happen. Springtime will come. God will move. The Holy Spirit will be poured out again upon this nation, upon our church, upon our families and homes. He will. And we will experience something that we've never experienced before. So this is what we're preparing for. This is what this church is preparing for. This is what our movement is preparing for. And we want to be in that casino within the next few months. And it's a massive place. We took the leaders there a couple of days ago to see where we would have different things, what we would do. And it's huge, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. It's awesome. You know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. And I do believe that news article in the Gazette was prophetic when they were saying, they're holding meetings every single night. And the church is growing hand over fist. And they have to have multiple services and all these things. It's hilarious, you know. Because it's not where we are right now. Because where we are right now, where this whole nation is, where the church in general is in this nation, is autumn. But you know what? Not to worry. Because guaranteed what comes next is winter, guaranteed what comes next is spring, guaranteed what comes next is summer. God always intervenes when there's nothing more man can do, when there's no other way. God moves. We have nothing special about us here. We are absolutely 100% dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit in this church and in our movement because, you know, we don't trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in our God. And we might look stupid to people, but we don't care because God is God and he is good and he will move. And, you know, it's interesting. I was reading the other day in a book about called When God Breaks In, about revival in the UK. One of the things it was just saying a bit was about, when Caleb gave his daughter and her husband some land in the Negev, and which is awesome. So Caleb gives his daughter and her husband some land in the Negev, which is like barren wilderness, right? So she's got this land, which is awesome. Her dad's just give her the land. It's fantastic. He's got the land in the barren wilderness though. So like, okay, thanks for the land. But it's dry as sticks, it's totally barren. And then she asks him, seeing as you give us land, can we have some water as well? Can we have some rivers? Can we have some springs? And then he says, what good is land in the desert without any water? And this is exactly as we're going to get this casino. It's awesome. Praise God for it. In God's time, it will be in there. I believe that in preparation for revival, when the Holy Spirit moves, more people will come and get saved. It's fantastic. We need that space. We will do. But that land in itself, what we've been given by God, what God's going to give us, what good is it in itself unless the Holy Spirit moves, unless we receive the water of the Holy Spirit? And maybe you need this in your personal life this morning. Maybe you feel like personally in this season, you just feel so dry and numb and you don't even know why. And you're trying to pray and you're trying to read your Bible and doing all the right things, but you just feel like totally numb and you're wandering around like a robot, going to work, coming back, having your tea, reading a bit of your Bible, sometimes not, and just, playing with the kids and coming to church and going through the week after week after week, watching something on TV and you just, but you don't realize it, but you're drowsy. You're drowsy and you're falling asleep, and every now and again you get glimpses of what God's doing, and it's like you're in a drunken stupor and you're sleepy, and maybe you just need the Holy Spirit to move upon you this morning afresh and to awaken you to what God's doing and to what he's going to do. And like Tom said this morning, awesomely prophetically, we don't look with our own eyes. We don't see, as the world sees. We see in faith, and we look in faith, and we act in faith and obedience and move in faith as to what God's going to do. In the Hebrides revival in 1950s, it started off in a very similar place, a very specific location, this revival, but in the islands in Scotland. And the state of the place was just terrible. The young people were just nowhere to be seen. Men were always in the pubs. If they weren't at work, they were in the pubs. And it was just a desperate, dry state. And then the ministers and the people that did go to church, who were mainly just a few old people, just became just so like, just fed up. What's going on? What's going on? And they're moved by God for the state of the place. And these two little old ladies as well, called Peggy and Christine Smith. One of them was totally blind, and they just decided to get together every night and pray. So every night, these two little old ladies got together and got on their knees for a few hours and just began to pray. Began to pray for revival, to pray for the Holy Spirit to move. And after a few months, guess what? The Holy Spirit begins to move. Duncan Campbell, who was a minister, had some meetings elsewhere, and these two ladies felt the Holy Spirit lead them to ring Duncan Campbell, and they rang him and said, God's told us to tell you to come to the Hebrides and serve us here and have meetings here. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm super busy. And he said, well, that's what man says, but with God says you'll be here within 2 weeks. And he was there within 2 weeks because God moved him there. And they started had a meeting on the first night, and it was kind of average, not much happening. And then one of the ministers said to him, you know, don't worry. I can hear the chariot's wheels above. Let's go for a prayer meeting. So they had this other prayer meeting that night, all night prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit's been moving them to pray for several months before this. So within that spirit of prayer, God's put the burden on the heart and they're in full faith what's going to happen. And they're already hearing in the spirit what God's doing. They're already hearing those chariot wheels moving, just like David was before he went into battle that time. Remember when, you know, the Lord says to him, David inquires of God, how should I go about this battle? And the Lord says, this time wait until you hear the chariot wheels of the Lord of Heaven's armies go before you. I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine what that was like for David, waiting with his men, and all of a sudden, he hears the heaven's armies and the chariot wheels and the horses and warriors and trumpet blasts and, okay, now go. This is how we're to be led in prayer. So we can consistently pray and consistently cry out to God for his people, for revival. We need him to put that burden on us. We can't muster it up ourselves. And I totally forgot what I was saying there. In the Hebrides, yeah. So they went to this all-night prayer meeting. And then he says, all of a sudden, about 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden something happened. They didn't know what it was, but all of a sudden something had shifted in the spiritual atmosphere. Things were totally different. It was like everyone on the whole island woke up, boomf. I mean, spiritually and physically. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, right? They walk out of this prayer meeting and he said, we don't know what happened, but we knew something awesome had happened. We knew that God had took the field and the forces of darkness were just gone. I mean, what must that feel like? You know, we're in this zone, this place now. It's autumn and winter time and there's all kinds of powers and principalities at work in our nation right now, keeping us asleep. We don't even realize it, you know. We need to wake up and see what's going on, see what God's doing. And so they walk out of this prayer meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning and they look around all the other houses in the towns and village and every single light in every house is turned on. And people are out of the house. People have come out of the house. It's like God's woke them up. Not just physically, which is pretty awesome in itself. Not just physically woke them up to do something or pray about something, but to woke them up. I mean, woke them up. Walk them up physically, walk them up spiritually, which is far more important. They had this awareness of God all of a sudden. Boom! Ooh. God, you know, God. Maybe you want that this morning. Maybe you need this morning in your own personal life. Maybe you want the Holy Spirit to wake you up this morning and move you to be able to pray, move you to be able to pray for the lost and have this burden on your heart so we can begin to pray for revival. And next is heart of humility that it talks about in the potter and the clay there. You know, what he's basically saying is, I'm not going to go into the detail of what it's talking about, right, like I said, but one of the things that comes out of this is the part where he says, you know, who are you, a man, to talk back to God? You know, if God decides to do something, can you just accept that? And, you know, whatever this is in your life, whatever you believe about God, he might want to do something. You might have some questions about God. You might not be sure of everything. But actually, we are to let God be God. Let God be God in every part of our life. Let God be God in every part of our heart. Let God be God. And we'll just be the clay on his wheel, on the potter's wheel. And to be humble, to have that humble heart. I feel like that's the second thing, the last thing that God wants to do with us this morning, is to give us that heart of humility. You know, many of us can be so hard in our heart and so rebellious and proud and stubborn and disobedient. But you know what? Actually, God wants us to be soft. Maybe you feel like you've become hard as well this morning and you want to go back onto the potter's wheel to allow him to put water on you again and to move you and mold you and shape you. Maybe you need to say sorry to God for some things, like it's already been said this morning. Maybe you need to come forward and just say, you know what, God, I'm sorry, you know, for my attitude towards you. I'm sorry for, you know, not listening to you, for being disobedient to my parents. I'm sorry for, you know, whatever it is, the lifestyle that I lead, the sins that I have in my heart, in my life. I'm sorry, Lord, I want to come forward and receive from you. this morning. You know, the thing about obedience is is that God absolutely loves you, and he wants you to obey him because he has awesome plans for your life and he knows what's best for you. You know, it's funny, every single time, almost, honestly, my kids get hurt themselves is because they've disobeyed what I've said. No, don't jump off that, it's too high. No, don't play with that, don't fight, stop it, don't go on there, don't climb that high. I'm always there telling them what to do, giving them instructions when they're going to hurt themselves. Lo and behold, they'll get hurt, they'll fall off something, they'll fight, they'll get hurt in some way, shape or form. And it's all because they didn't listen to daddy. Because I can see them and I know what's best for them. I know what's going to hurt them. I'll tell them not to do something. I'll tell them what I want them to do because I know what's best for them. But when they don't listen, they get hurt. This is exactly the same with us and God, except the difference and the gap is infinitely greater, obviously. And you know, we don't understand the ways of God sometimes. We don't understand. He doesn't often show us our life plan. What's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? You know, he often just shows us the next step for the next day or the next week. And all we need to do is take one step in front of the other and be obedient to our Heavenly Father, one step at a time. And because he knows what's best for you. He doesn't want you to get hurt. He has fantastic plans for your life. And if you can just take that step in faith, not living by what you see, not living by what, you know, is going on around you and other people are doing, but in faith, just obeying God, even though it might not make sense sometimes, being obedient to him anyway, and then he'll show you the next step and so on and so forth. Why don't we stand to our feet? Like I say, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our hearts this morning rather than a big teach or anything. So why don't we just close our eyes and open our hands to the Lord, open our hands and just ask the Holy Spirit to just come. Holy Spirit, we love you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We can't do this, Lord, without you. We have nothing to give. We are 100% relying on you, Lord. I just pray for each and every single person here, Father, that you would begin to touch their hearts, begin to open their hearts and soften their hearts. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you just want to thank God as well. God wants to give us a thankful heart this morning and just think about all the things he's done. Every day we can thank God for something. We don't know what he's protecting us from half the time. Day-to-day things that go on and we just don't know. God might be saving our life. We don't even realize it. Even things that seem hard and hardships we go through, God can use it all for his glory, and it could be a lot worse. So I just thank God. Just be like that leper that came back and said thank you to Jesus for healing him. Said thank you. God, would you give us the heart for evangelism, Lord, the heart to pray. Give us a humble heart, Lord, and a thankful heart this morning. And most of all, Lord, we just pray for your living waters to flow through us right now. And if you want to come forward and just receive something from the Holy Spirit, why don't you come forward now? Just come to the front if you want to receive a heart for the lost, or you feel challenged by, you know, just being dry and asleep. Or drowsy, and you just want God to wake you up. I know I do. I want the Lord to wake me up. If you want this, the Holy Spirit wants to do something this morning. It's not about my message, actually. It's about something God wants to do. God wants to impart to us a new heart. He wants to remove from us our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And if you can be obedient to God and just respond to him this morning, he'll do something awesome because he loves it. He loves humble hearts. Who respond to him. You know, James says, don't just merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And Lord, what you're saying this morning is to come forward and receive from you. Receive a gift. Wake us up, Lord. We're absolutely desperate for you this morning. Pray for every single one of my brothers and sisters here as we're coming forward, that you would just touch them right now. We are dry, Lord. We're in the desert lands and we absolutely need you, Holy Spirit, more and more. We're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with our lifestyle, Lord. We're not satisfied with our church. We're not satisfied with our nation. We're far from it, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are out of season, Lord. But we know that springtime is coming, Father, in your perfect time. Help us to be patient, Lord, in the midst of it. If you'd like to receive this new heart, come forward. If you'd like to, you know, just say sorry to God for something, then you come forward as well. Receive his forgiveness. God absolutely loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to be happy and to be full of joy. And he has a perfect plan for you, and he knows what's best. So if that's you, just come forward as well and receive from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done in these situations that we find ourselves in. Your will be done in our homes. Your will be done in our jobs. Give us a big drink this morning, Holy Spirit, of you. Thank you, Lord.